Greetings and welcome to a roundtable discussion at the Ann Arbor City Club on July 8, 2016. This is the first in a series of discussions about issues surrounding creating a chapter of Les Dames d'Escoffier International in Ann Arbor. I'm Sandy Arlinghouse, and my guest today is our wonderful Dame Ricky Agronoff. Hi, Ricky, how are you?
Hello.
It's good to see you
Hello.
Today.
Hello, I'm glad to be here. I've spent the last couple of weeks trying to think about our culinary connections with Ann Arbor.
Good.
And I can remember as far back as the early 60s, because I came here in 1960.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Great.
And I've been here a very long time, and I've seen the growth of interest in culinary things, all culinary things, and in Ann Arbor and in the United States and even beyond. But Ann Arbor is the one that interests me because I know more about it, and the enthusiasm people have shown with wanting to be involved in anything in the hospitality industry, but particularly food in Ann Arbor, has always amazed me. So I tried to think back when my first memories were, and one of my first memories is a woman named Peggy Kay, who is no longer here, who had a food column. And the reason I remember it is that she was, first of all, she was a very good writer, and she loved puns. And one of her puns was, summer is a cumin inn, C-U-M-I-N, cumin inn. That started me reading her. She was just free-thinking, and it was marvelous. But then along came Annette Churchill, who worked for what was the precursor of The Observer. And she had a food column, and she had wonderful stories. And from Annette Churchill, we have her son, Bob Hodesh, who took over the wonderful hardware store, which became known as Downtown something or other.
Home and Garden.
Home and Garden. He turned that place into a food maven heaven. I mean, you could get anything you wanted there. Before that, that was Kitchen Port, which started in 1969. I was involved in that, where I was told to go to New York with $10,000 and buy everything I thought that anyone would ever need to have in a kitchen. And imagine being given $10,000 and told to do that.
What fun.
It was a dream come true for me, because I was determined I was going to buy not the cheapest of implements, but good, strong ones that would last, and find the best price. And I was just wandering all over the district trying to find what I needed. And the man who had hired me, on the advice of Annette Churchill, who was really Annette Hodesh, was Art Carpenter. He, with a couple of other people, was involved in the evolution of Carytown. Carytown used to be a farm and grain building.
Really?
The main building was farm and grain. I used to go there for seeds for my parrot. That was the only place I could find the right kind of seeds that he liked. And I watched it turn into one of the country's premier malls. It's not even a mall. I don't know what to call it. It's just a dearly loved part of Carytown, right next to the farmer's market. And there we are, there's the farmer's market, who's grown over the years into a place where people who love to go to farmer's markets can't stay away from. It has everything you want, and it's next to Carytown, where you could buy anything you want. And there's a butcher and a fishmonger that have top products. I mean, Ann Arbor is really a mecca. And I was involved with Kitchen Port to begin with, as I mentioned. And from then, I went on to start a little shop at Kerrytown. We bought the remains of a shop from a man who had a strudel house, something called the strudel house, and we started Kitchen Port. We started Movable Feast there. We introduced the first sourdough baguettes to Ann Arbor, and the first croissants. I know there are going to be arguments about this, but really, we really were the first croissant in Ann Arbor. I used to buy my flour from a bakery. I think it was called Quality Bakery, by the 50-pound sack. And they closed very shortly after I was getting my flour from them. But they gave me a good name to the flour company, and the flour company would come up in front of my house with a big four-wheeler truck and drop off a 50-pound bag or a 100-pound bag, because I knew the old guys. There was also a man who used to deliver butter and eggs to the house. He came from a small town near Ann Arbor, and he would always deliver the flour, the butter, and the eggs very early in the morning. So if you decided you didn't want it, it was too late. It was outside your door. Everybody complained about that, but we still kept getting it. It was wonderful butter. Then I guess I really became involved when I had a little catering company just for fun before anything like that started in Ann Arbor. And then I taught private cooking lessons from 1962 on. Complete Cuisine was also came on the horizon when we started, just after we started Movable Feast, and she was on Main Street, and it was a wonderful place. Then let's see, what I'm thinking about is what Zingerman's used to be. Zingerman's used to be a little local market, little grocery store for people in the neighborhood, and Art Carpenter, who really always wanted to have a delicatessen, bought it and fixed it up like a delicatessen and tried desperately to cook all the things that were needed at a delicatessen. But he didn't quite make it. He was a lawyer. He was a very good lawyer. He should have stuck to law. But he was a great guy. And then Zingerman's bought it. And the funny thing about it is that the Movable Feast ladies looked at that property, and we were thinking about whether we should buy that house. This is before we actually bought the house over on Liberty. And we said, well, let's think about it for 24 hours. And the next day, Art Carpenter came to us and said, ha-ha, I bought the house. So we never got it. And I think it's good we didn't, because Zingerman's has turned that into a national or even an international store. An unusual store. I don't know what else I want to talk about now.
Well, I have some questions. How about that?
Go ahead.
You know, I think the story of how your early efforts kind of led to Zingerman's mm-hmm. is fascinating.
Yes.
And you started so many different things here. I wonder where the other roots have gone. You know, your roots, they kind of grow and flower elsewhere. I seem to remember a while ago, you told me that you had a baker who worked for you for a year at Movable Feast.
That's right.
What was his name?
Larry Bell.
And what did Larry Bell wind up doing?
I believe Larry Bell, he told me when he left he was going to go up to, I think he said Grand Rapids, and he was going to make beer. And I remember saying, beer? You're such a good baker. Why are you doing that? And he said, I've always wanted to make beer. And now we have Bell's Beer, which is a very famous beer around here. I'm sure I've seen it in other cities as well.
It is. Bell's Brewery makes all sorts of different beers, and they've won nationwide awards for the best beer in the country.
Oh, that's good.
So see how your good beginnings helped Larry Bell.
I'm glad to hear that. He was a very nice guy.
Good. And in fact, I think you know that our son runs a craft beer bar in Mississippi.
Yes, I do.
And until this last year, Bell's Brewery was not yet in Mississippi. But now they are. And they came They had an opening at our son's bar in Meridian on March 17th, and I was there.
Oh, how exciting.
And they sent two guys down from Michigan. Uh-huh. And so I told them about you.
Oh, did you?
And your connection with Larry Bell.
Uh-huh.
And they said, oh, we'd heard he was a baker somewhere, but we didn't know where.
Yeah.
I told them, and they said, we'll go back and tell him.
Yeah.
So you might hear from him.
I'm glad I'm not wrong, because I kept thinking maybe it isn't the same Larry Bell.
Yeah. It's the same guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so glad. He was a very nice fella.
So look at where your early efforts have led.
Yes.
Have led life. Zingerman's,
yeah.
Huge national corporation.
Right.
Bell's, another huge national corporation.
Yes. Yeah.
It's kind of exciting to think in the next 10 years, where will the others go? Where did Kitchenport go?
Well, Kitchenport was in business for 40 years.
Okay.
It stayed very well in business for 40 years, and it just, I think it closed about 4 or 5 years ago. I don't know, time gets away from me. It could have been 8 years ago, but I think it was only about 4 or 5 years ago. And it was a premier store. It really grew into a very good store, very well, much sought after store.
I remember my mother, Alma Locke, came to Kitchenport. Somebody invited her to come there, and she gave a lecture series there.
Was that at the one at Carytown?
Oh, it was a long time ago. It might
have
been.
Because the first 2 years we were in the basement of a house, of a building across from Carytown.
I think that's more likely that she was in the basement.
Yeah.
Because I remember her making comments about something very nice in a basement in Ann Arbor.
Oh, yeah.
And she was very impressed with it, I know that.
Yeah.
And she signed some books there for people and...
Oh, that's
really
nice.
Enjoyed it.
That's
so,
nice.
You know, that memory gets carried on in other ways too.
I still have a huge picture that was, as you went down the stairs, Art Carpenter, who was involved in this, insisted that they put a huge picture of me at the bottom of the stairs so people would be greeted by me. I still have it in my basement, and my children always made sure that they told everybody about the picture of their mother in the basement and made their friends' mothers go down there to see it. They were very proud of that. But it was a very dark basement, you know, because it was a basement in an old house. And they used to deliver everything through a window, which was at street level.
Oh, was it a coal chute?
No,
was
it wasn't
previously?
It was not a coal chute. It was just a slit of a window large enough to accept packages.
Oh, okay.
Before we started the Kitchenport, the packages were delivered to a friend of Art Carpenter's who had a big factory that was out on North Main Street, and you had to get down to the factory. It was very hilly, and the three I went and two other people I hired came with me down this long hill and went into this factory and opened up every single thing that came to be then brought back. And we was a labor of love, and we were younger, so nobody minded. But it was difficult to get started, physically difficult. But once we were open, it was fine. It was great.
So do you have photographs of this painting of you?
I have the painting. It isn't a painting, it's a photograph.
It's actually a photograph.
Yeah, it's all bleached out, but it's obviously...
Well, we should get a photograph of it to include with this now that we've talked about it.
Yeah,
it another day, right?
Another day, right.
So you mentioned your parrot. It sounds like he would only eat seeds from downtown Home and Garden?
Well, it wasn't downtown Home and Garden.
It was
farm and grain. Well, that was the only place you could get them.
Oh, okay.
You could buy them in stores in little packages for a dollar. You could buy an ounce of seeds, you know, to eat yourself. But he was, a healthy parrot, and he ate a lot of seeds. And besides, they had very good selection to make it a little healthier for him.
So you had a gourmet parrot.
We had. We did, actually. We really did.
What was his name?
His name was Sebastian.
Sebastian.
And he was
How long
with us.
Did he live?
Well, he died when he was 45. We had him for 33 years. He came to us when he was 12. He could have lived another this breed was a yellow naped Amazon. He, a green bird with a little bit of yellow around his neck and on his forehead. They lived to be about 65.
Did he talk?
Talked very well. He talked, he sang, he laughed, he giggled, he screamed. He was wonderful. I miss him to this day. He was a great pet.
Did you have other pets?
We had a dog, cat, a kind of snail that we had. That was a pet, but we always had animals. And the bird didn't get along with any of them because he was very, very jealous.
Really?
Yeah, very jealous. He didn't like, I'm sorry to say, he didn't like my kids or my husband either.
Well,
I think he didn't
he
like...
He was your pet.
I think he didn't like males. And so my the rest of the family, you know, didn't have this attachment that I did. And it was too bad. But they enjoyed him because he was very amusing.
He was a character.
He was, definitely.
Well, I never met him, but I enjoy hearing about him.
He used to sing a poem in Portuguese. He had been owned by a Portuguese family. He said this poem in iambic pentameter, and it was in Portuguese. And every once in a while, he would yell out, "Abuela," which is grandmother in Spanish Portuguese. And he would mumble something in Portuguese that I didn't understand. But he mostly spoke English. And he sang duets. He was wonderful.
He sang duets?
He sang duets.
With himself or with other people?
With me, of course.
With you.
With me, of course. I'm the only one who could get to him. Right. Anyway.
That's great.
He was great, yeah.
So where are you from originally, Ricky?
I'm from Boston.
You're from Boston.
Yeah. And but I've been in Ann Arbor, as I said, since 1960, so I'm really a Michigander now, you know. Anyway,
anyone else who's in Ann Arbor you know from Boston and lay down?
Well, I know Jan Longoni is from Boston.
Okay.
She was a year ahead of me in high school.
Oh, you went to the same school?
We went to the same school.
Small world.
She was the first person I saw when we came to Ann Arbor. I was sitting in the car waiting for my husband to come out of a meeting, and she walked by, and it was no mistaking her because she had very, very long hair, and she has her own look, and she walked by, and I remember yelling out, "Jan," and she was really happy to see me. She had been here a while, I think, a couple of years, I'm not sure.
You told me a while ago that you'd been in movies?
Yeah, I don't want to get into that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you'd have adventures in various parts of the world?
I started in Boston. I did television movies. But
that's great.
Yeah. But that was another life.
Okay.
Know? Yeah. I'm not ashamed of it. It's just it was long ago.
Right.
I'm not.
You want to tell us about your adventures in France?
My adventures in France? I didn't. Oh, you mean when I worked at that three-star restaurant?
Yeah.
Yeah, I worked at. That was only for a short time, a couple of weeks. We were very good friends with. You may know of him. His name was Roy de Groot.
I know Roy de Groot.
Yeah.
He came and visited us in an apartment in Chicago with his dog.
Yes.
Well, yes.
We got introduced to him, and he really liked my husband very much. He and Bernie got along very well. Sometimes Bernie would go with him on his foraging tours, or he'd go with him when he was checking out a hotel. And he grew very fond of our family, and we liked him very much. He was a character. You know, he was blind.
Yes.
And he had become blind.
That's why
blind.
He had the dog.
That's right. He became blind during the war, the Blitz in London.
Yeah,
he had not always been blind. He had been a journalist. And when he became blind, he decided that he still wanted to write, but that maybe his sense of taste was something he should use because he couldn't see. He was remarkable. I mean, he could eat a dinner with a fork and knife with more manners than I've seen anybody else. He would figure out where everything was and sort of divide it in his mind into quadrants, and he'd say, you know, is this like northeast or where is it, northwest? And we would tell him. And he always had this wonderful dog who died and broke his heart, but he came to Michigan to get another one, and I remember Bernie went with him. And his dog was a very large German Shepherd. We had a pretty large black lab, and when he brought his dog into the house, he stayed with us one night. Our dog immediately walked as fast as he could behind a chair. I mean, he knew that dog was, but as a matter of fact, they ended up, they didn't do very much, but they ended up being nice to each other. They avoided each other. But I would have been scared of that dog because the dog was huge. Anyway.
Yeah, I remember that dog. I was a fairly young child. I was afraid of it.
Yeah, yeah. He was, it was a female. He adored that dog. Anyway, he died tragically.
That's too bad.
Yeah. And, but while he was alive, he said, I want to do something for you because, you know, you should get known more outside this area for what you do. And so he was friends with the owners and chefs of a restaurant called Les Trois Gros. I have a speech impediment
okay.
with ours.
Les Trois Gros Frères.
Thank you. So I went there for a couple of weeks, and I'm basically a very shy person, and so it was difficult for me to go to do that. And they were very kind, and I was in the kitchen, and the only one I could converse with, because my French is not very good. Towards the end, I was speaking a little French, I know, but I speak German. And so I was very, very friendly with the pastry chef because he spoke German. And so I was in the kitchen, and you know, I didn't do very important things, but I was there watching for the time I was there. It was a terrific opportunity. I was happy to be there, and I was happy to leave. The first thing that happened was that one of the Trois Gros brothers, who was, I think, a divorced or a widow, I'm not sure, the first thing he wanted to do was play tennis. He said, you know, do you play tennis? And I said, I do, but I have a bit. He wrote me off right then. But he was sort of kind to me towards the end. And the other Trois Gros brother was the one who invented the phrase, what the heck was it? It was something to do with the nouvelle, cuisine nouvelle.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I remember I asked him, I got up the courage to ask him in French, you know, what is this cuisine nouvelle? And he looked at me like he looked like he grew 6 feet when he was only like 5 feet. He looked like he drew himself up, and he said, "Well, what do you mean? What is it?" And then he said, "Don't you know what it is?" I said, "No, I'm asking you what it is." And he told me it was mostly using a lot of vegetables, but he was, and they were marvelous. I think they still have 3 stars. You know, they were. The Rouen is right in the center of lots and lots of good chefs, and there are a lot of 3-star restaurants: Lyon, Rouen, all around that area. So, and I had been to some of them. Bernie and I had once taken a trip going to nothing but 3-star restaurants when before we had kids, and it was a wonderful opportunity. So I knew what he was talking about when he said, after he told me, you know, I think I was just making conversation with him because I wanted him to talk to me. But anyway, it was an interesting trip. I'm glad I did it.
Good.
We haven't been to France for about 5 years now, and traveling is just not the same anymore.
Well, now we can travel using the internet.
That's right.
And using Les Dames and other interesting organizations.
That's true. That's
I know you were also involved in a much earlier effort to establish a chapter of Les Dames.
I was.
Here
I
in
was.
Ann Arbor.
And I stopped it, I think, because I became ill, but I can't remember. I wasn't deep into it. You know, I think I had just gotten some information and I had made contact with a couple of people in Washington State because my son is there, and I knew I was going there, and I had written a book, and I wanted to do some selling of the book, and I called somebody just to find out how to go about it.
Was that the Rice Cookbook that you did?
It was, you know, I can't remember which one. It was either the one on rice or the other one that I did on
Cooking and Porcelain.
Yeah, and Cooking and Porcelain. That was something that the publisher asked me to do, Cooking and Porcelain. I mean, but they were just little books, but they sold. Anyway.
Well, maybe we'll hear more about it. This is just the first. We're just beginning to learn all about Ricky and all the fascinating women here in a roundtable discussion series.
Oh, I think it'll be interesting. I think if there are more people here, we'll be talking over each other, trying to say.
I think you're right.
You're welcome.
So we'll look forward to that and to seeing you soon again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ricky.
Thank you. Okay. Am I going to...